There's one more thing that I felt like God wanted me to do today. I have a short, God has given me just a short Bible study, devotion, about something today I'm excited to share with you. And we, like I said, we've been talking about prayer. And the kids are going to go on for a few minutes, so God bless you guys. Thank you for being here, boys and girls, and Gary. Just a big kid. That's what Gary is. So I've been talking about, on a series about prayer, and also today is Thanksgiving Sunday. So I wanted to talk just a little bit about prayers of Thanksgiving, okay? Thankfulness requires communication of some sort. Prayer is a type of communication, as we've talked about. So today, we're going to learn about prayers of thanksgiving, but I have noticed a twist in biblical examples of prayers of thanksgiving that we don't often think about. Because most of the time, thanksgiving, we view it as something that we're thankful for, the things that we have. We're thankful for things that have happened to us, the blessings in our life. And we should be thankful for that. That's very true. We should always be thankful for what we have. I've kind of tried to be a little more thankful for even the little bitty things in our lives. For instance, when my boys were little, I was kind of teaching them, well, let's, as on our way to church, let's look around and see what we're thankful for. And when, I believe it was McCobe said, mailboxes. I thought, well, I'm glad that there's a mail system in America, right? So anyway, I think I'm thankful for even the little things. And thankfulness, I'm learning, is a powerful tool when we add it into our prayer life that we as Christians have access to. And I want to challenge you and myself to give a little bit more attention or a little bit more focus on being thankful for the things that we do not have yet. Now, it may sound confusing, but it's very biblical. A couple weeks ago, I read the story of Hannah. I'm going to just tell you this story real quick. Hannah was married to Elkanah. Ladies, you remember the husband's name, Elkanah, because he's the one who said, do what seems best to you, to his wife. Remember that lesson? Men, you remember the lesson, right? Good answer. So she couldn't have children. The other wife, Peninnah, always teased her and give her really bad times. Matter of fact, her arrival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her. This is in 1 Samuel 1 and 2 is this story of Hannah. And she didn't have children, so she said, God, if you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you. And asking God for a blessing so that she could be a blessing, that's a whole nother sermon that we won't get into. But she was asking God for this, and she the other wife would just give her such a hard time about it and tease her, and she felt terrible. She would cry every year that they went to the temple to sacrifice. And so we all know that eventually God blessed her with a young boy. Samuel was his name, and she immediately, after Samuel was weaned, she dedicated the boy to the church, and he stayed at the church to help the prophet that was there, Eli. Now, then she goes into this, and it's kind of a well-known, it's called Hannah's Song of Thanksgiving. And it's a beautiful, almost like a song or a poem, and she's very thankful and grateful to God for opening her womb so that she could bear a child and then give it to the church. Now, first off, don't bring your kids and drop them off here to our church. It doesn't work like that anymore. So she has this kid and gives him to the church. Now, you might be thinking, well, yes, God blessed her, and she had this song of thanksgiving. It makes sense. She got what she asked for. She was blessed, so she has this thought song of thanksgiving. But the interesting thing is, she went home childless. She went home, and Peninnah was still like, you don't have a child. She still went back to her home because she only got to see Samuel once a year when she went to the temple to pray, because she would make him a little coat and take to him once a year when they made sacrifices. But she gave thanks before she truly got her blessing, because we read in 1 Samuel 2 and 21, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Then she received her blessing. Thanksgiving come first. Let's go to the story of Jonah. I read that just a couple of weeks ago, and I'll just remind you. Jonah, in Jonah 2, 1, still in the stomach of the fish, says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Thanksgiving come before he actually was spit up onto the beach, or however he came out. Salvation is from the Lord, and he gave thanks beforehand. Here's another one, the story of Daniel. This is a good one. I didn't realize this one either. In Daniel 6, we'll start mid verse of 7. Daniel 6 and 7. The king should establish this. You remember Daniel was with, there was a king involved, and he made this huge statue and said, hey, everybody needs to kneel down to my statue and pray, and you can't pray to any other god. And so they kind of tricked the king into doing this because he knew that Daniel, they knew Daniel was going to keep on praying to his Jehovah God. The king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. So he did the injunction. The king did it. And verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. He continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had done previously, even in the midst of what he knows could possibly be death to Daniel. He stops and gives thanks, and he continues to do so. I have another example here. This one I liked, the Lord's Supper in Luke 22. If you would turn there with me, please. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus is establishing a memorial practice that represents the violent torture and execution of Jesus. So it says here in verse 15, Luke 22, 15, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And we had taken the cup, he gave thanks and said, take and share it among yourselves. Even when he's establishing the very thing that Christians will continue to repeat for years and years and come in remembrance of his torture and his execution, his sacrifice, he says, thanks. He gives God thanks. One more, Jesus feeding the 5,000 in Matthew 15 and 36. This is when he had the loaves and the fish. Matthew 15, 36, this is our last example. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples, and disciples gave them to the people. While he still had 7 loaves and fish. Look at that first sentence. He still had 7 loaves and the fish, and he gave thanks. We're learning biblically that the being thankful is part of our process for receiving from God. Being thankful for things that may not have manifested in our lives yet. Last week, Pastor talked a lot about faith in prayer. And he used this scripture, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we include thankfulness in this, I want you to think about this. Thankfulness is a part of our evidence. Think about this. Faith is substance and evidence. It's substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things not seen. Being thankful is an evidence. It's a vocal and verbal evidence that you have already received the blessing. When you say, if you're believing for a car and you need a car and you believe it's in God's will and you're believing and praying for a car, and you say, thank you, God, for that car. Somebody says, what, did they get a new car? I don't know. He must have. He just said thank you for it, right? I heard Bob Yandian was preaching. Well, he's a preacher, comes here every once in a while. One of his congregation members come to him, said, listen, Pastor, I'm sorry. I've got to confess to you. I'm addicted to cigarettes, and I like to smoke, but I don't want to smoke anymore. And, you know, what do I do? I've prayed and prayed and prayed. I want to quit smoking. It's an addiction. And Bobby Annan told him, said, begin to thank God that he has given you victory over cigarettes. And he said, even every time, he said, it's weird, but every time you light up, God, thank you for giving me victory over cigarettes. That's faith. That's the substance of faith, is thankfulness. And he come back a few months later and he said, I did it. Every time I said it felt weird because I would light up a cigarette and say, thank you, God, for delivering me from cigarettes. And he said, a couple months it worked. I just didn't want to do it anymore. And if any of you know anything about addictions, that's a miracle. Amen? Being thankful for what has yet to be manifested in your life, but you are believing for, is faith. God responds to faith. Thus, God responds to thanksgiving. Are you getting the picture that we have this tool in our tool belts that we can use during our prayers and during our life that will cause our faith to build, that will cause these blessings? You see, when there's a problem, when we face situation and trials, that is an opportunity to give thanks. When we give thanks, we've now given the opportunity for God to bless us. It's part of the faith process. These two scriptures, Philippians 4:6. If you don't have something to write down, but you want to take these scriptures home, it's on the YouVersion today, and there's also a sheet in the foyer that you can pick up, and it's got all these scriptures on it and a short outline. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What do we add with the prayer? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God in thanksgiving. Now, if you have a request, you haven't received something yet. So this is a pre-blessing thanksgiving. He says give thanks before you get it, because if you already had it, you wouldn't have to request it. Colossians 4:2. I'm excited. I love this stuff. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it, keeping alert in your prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is part of our faith process. So, what have you been asking God for lately? What have you been believing God for? What have you been requesting from God? God loves you. He wants to, and he hears you, and he wants to answer your prayers. And he wants to bless his children. Who doesn't want to bless their children? God wants to bless you. And one of the tools that we have is a tool of thanksgiving. Instead of continuing to ask for it, maybe we begin to thank God for it, like Jonah did, like Jesus did, like Paul and Silas did. They were giving praise in probably the worst conditions they've ever experienced, like Hannah did. If we truly believe Mark 11:24, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. Pastor Temple talked about this last week. When you pray and ask, then you believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. If we truly believe that, then it should now be easy and sensible to approach God with thanksgiving. Even if your answer has yet to be manifested in the physical world, we know that it's been manifested in the spiritual world because he promised that, and God is not slack on his promises. Amen? So this year, let's make an effort to put more faith-filled thanksgiving in our prayers than we possibly ever had before. And when you gather around your Thanksgiving table this next week, and many families take turns and go around and say, what are you thankful for and what are you thankful for? And that's always be thankful for everything. But let's add something different into that mix and say, I'm thankful for something that you're believing God wants to do in your life that hasn't yet manifested. I'm thankful for God getting me out of this situation, even though you feel like you're right in the middle of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. This is our last scripture. If you would stand with me, I want you to read this scripture with me out loud here in just a minute. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. We'll just play some canned music after this is done and have a prayer, and we'll dismiss. Are you ready? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Our Father, our God, thank you. We are so thankful for everything that you are doing in our lives, in our families, in this community, in this congregation, in our church, and in this country. And we thank you that the prayers and this prayer challenge that you're hearing us, and things are great, things are going to happen. We're already going to say thank you for the miracles that we are going to begin to see because of this prayer challenge, because of our devotion to prayer. Thank you for the glory manifested in this place that I believe that we're going to see. Thank you in advance. Things that you've promised to us, thank you for that. And we love you very much. I pray, God, that all of us here would have a joyful and safe and healthy Thanksgiving this next week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you are wanting prayer, if you want to rededicate your life, if you want to give your life first time to Christ, I want you to meet me and some of the pastors up here at the front. If not, I want to bid you a great and happy Thanksgiving. Take with you the ability to impact lives everywhere you go. You are dismissed.